The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Ibrahim Kwatin.
In the headlines, Ministry of Finance presents government's budget statement and economic policy to Parliament tomorrow. NAT calls on government to provide mortgage facility to enable members acquire houses. More than 50 Galamsey operators in Wasa Amenfi East District appear in court. Kenyans vote in general elections today, and cardinals of Catholic Church due to meet in Rome to begin process of electing next pope. But first, the summary with Ibrahim Kwatin.
The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Seth Tepe, will present this year's budget statement and government's economic policy to Parliament tomorrow. This year's budget has been presented in March instead of November in the preceding year because of the December 2012 election. The fourth biennial delegates conference of the Akwetia district of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, has ended at Buodia. In a resolution, the association appealed to the government to motivate teachers to give of their best rather than pay lip service to the improvement of their welfare. More than 50 Galamsey operators in the Wasa Amenfi East District of the Western Region have started appearing before the District Magistrate Court at Wasa Krupong for failing to refill a ditch they dug to search for gold. This follows criminal summons issued against them by the District Assembly. And Kenyans are voting in general elections that observers describe as the most important in the country's history. This is the first time a vote has taken place under a new constitution designed to prevent a repeat of violence that characterized the 2007 polls.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news now in detail. The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Seth Tekpe, will present this year's budget statement and government's economic policy to Parliament tomorrow. This year's budget is being presented in March instead of November in the preceding year because of the 2012 December elections. During the latter part of last year, Parliament approved the government's expenditure for the first quarter of 2013 in anticipation that the new government would present its budget to the House for approval.
Talking Point on GTV yesterday discussed part two of the president's recent State of the Nation address. The president of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo, said revenue from taxation contributes less than 20% to the national purse. He said much of the country's revenue is also lost to corruption, partly emanating from the existence of good names and low productivity. He therefore suggested an ingenious mechanism to monitor employees' performance and also to improve tax collection. The Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of public-private partnership, Alhaji Rashid Pelpo, said excellent delivery on the part of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission has resulted in a situation where some people are paid more than their work output. He said government will ensure that such discrepancies are corrected. The convener of the Forum for Governance and Justice, Dr. Clementa Park, who touched on the increase in fuel prices and the energy crisis, said this will affect the people, especially the poor in society. He said the country's inability to achieve certain revenue targets, particularly shortfalls in projected oil revenue, makes it necessary to reduce fuel subsidy.
Government has been called upon to fulfill its financial commitments earmarked for the vocational and technical institutions to ensure quality skills training of Ghanaian youth. The headmaster of Aguna Soedu National Vocational Training School, Bernard Banaza, who made this known at a press briefing at Soedu, said payment of subsidies to vocational institutions have ceased since the past 4 years. He said all vocational institutions are going through financial crisis to manage the schools, adding that the schools are relying solely on fees to run institutions. Mr. Benazir appealed to government to consider the good role these institutions play in the development of the country and offer them their needs. He mentioned the lack of means of transportation, computer laboratory, boreholes, furniture, and the renovation of existing structures as some of the difficulties facing the institute. Mr. Benazir appealed to government and the Aguna West Municipal Assembly to construct additional classrooms and dormitories to accommodate students.
The fourth biennial delegates conference of the Akwetia District of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, has ended at Buodua. In resolution, the association appealed to government to motivate teachers to give up their best rather than pay lip service to the improvement of their welfare. The teachers ask government to provide mortgage facilities for them as a way of motivation. The resolution also appealed to government to provide the needed infrastructure in public schools in line with the Better Ghana agenda. An 11-member executive to steer the local NAT for the next 2 years was elected into office. The secretary of the association, Frank Chung, presenting a report for the year 2011-2012, said the association would encourage more teachers to take advantage of the distance learning program to upgrade themselves.
A lecturer at the Trinity Theological Seminary at Legon, Reverend Fred Amavanku, has urged politicians and public office holders to let their conduct be worthy of emulation as mentors to students and other youth seeking to serve in leadership positions. He said acts and utterances of some politicians are uncomplimentary and do not augur well for the sustainable peace, harmony, development and the disciplined society that Ghana is yearning to attain. Reverend Amavanku was speaking at Legon in Accra at a Thanksgiving service to Climax Activities, marking the 15th anniversary celebration of the University of Ghana branch of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. We'll bring you the details.
The University of Ghana branch of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church was established on campus in 1998 through the initiatives of some personalities, including former moderator of the EP Church, now the very Reverend Dr. Livingston Bwama. It first started as the Evangelical Presbyterian Student Union, but has now grown into a full-fledged congregation as one of the constituents under the Medina District EP Church and a union member of the University Christian Fellowship, delivering the sermon at the Thanksgiving service, Reverend Amavanku, who represented the moderator of the EP Church General Assembly, bemoaned the incidence of indiscipline and dishonesty in the Ghanaian society and cautioned that the country could pay a painful price for such misconduct if measures are not put in place to check the canker. He urged students of the country's tertiary institutions to abstain from social vices that have the tendency of ruining their future and rather focus ahead with hope. The chaplain of the University of Ghana EP Church congregation, Reverend Dr. Mrs. Bridget Benaima, underscored the potential of the youth in nation building and age-relevant agencies to assist in equipping them with relevant skills to curb unemployment. She said the congregation has adopted evangelism as its hallmark, for which the students travel to rural communities at the end of every academic semester to preach the gospel and offer humanitarian support to the disadvantaged. The president of the University of Ghana, EFSU, Mauli Gunu, announced that the union has acquired a 38-seater bus to facilitate its outreach programs across the country.
A news desk report.
A delegation from Benin and Togo, led by the Beninua Minister of Energy, Barthelemy Kasa, has met with the Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Ama Kufibua, to discuss and explore possibilities for increased power supply to Togo and Benin. Was described as a crunch meeting held in Accra and attended by the chief executives of VRA and Gridco and other officials from the Ministry of Energy and the two power companies. The delegation lamented the precarious power situation in their countries and asked for Ghana's assistance to remedy the situation. Here is a news desk report.
According to Mr. Barthelemy Kasa, the current power supply arrangement of 50 megawatts on off-peak periods and 35 megawatts during peak periods on weekdays is no longer adequate for their country's needs. He therefore asked the minister to consider increasing the supply to alleviate their plight. Mr. Emmanuel Ama Kufibua, in his response, briefed the delegation on the current challenges the country also faces in its power sector. He expressed government desire to increase power supply to the two countries, but for the current situation in which the country also finds itself. He told the delegation about plans to bring on stream additional power within the next few weeks, promising to work out some arrangements to increase supply to them as soon as additional power is generated. He encouraged his counterparts to negotiate with the Ivorian authorities also for additional power, saying that Ghana is ready to wheel such extra power at no cost from now till the end of next month. Meanwhile, the delegation also raised concern about the transmission service charge, to which the meeting agreed that a technical committee be put in place to discuss the details and come out with the necessary recommendations.
The news desk report.
Cosmos Energy has earmarked 1 year of zero lost time of injury across its operational areas in the country. The Director for Health, Safety, Environment and Security at Cosmos Ghana, Dr. Kwame Bwachiji, paid tribute to the country's subcontractors and lauded their conscious effort on site to ensure health and safety of their employees. Speaking at Takoradi to mark the year, Dr. Bwachiji stressed that Cosmos Energy is committed to the safety and well-being of its employees, adding that in undertaking their business, they are mindful so as to minimize the risks of injury to people and damage to property. Health and safety awards were presented to some deserving employees for their outstanding commitment to health and safety. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Ministry of Finance presents government's budget statement and economic policy to Parliament tomorrow. NAT calls on government to provide mortgage facility to enable members acquire houses. More than 50 Galamsey operators in Wasamenfi East District appear in court. Kenyans vote in general elections today. And cardinals of Catholic Church due to meet in Rome to begin process of electing next pope. We are back shortly.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
You will come back. More than 50 Galamsey operators in the Wasamenfi East District in the Western Region have started appearing before the District Magistrate Court at Wasakropon for failing to refill the ditch they dug to settle gold. This follows criminal summons issued against them by the District Assembly. Correspondent George Grant Youngson sat in for Radio Ghana.
Those who appeared first before the court included Stretchy, Apia Henny, Bobo and Rubin, also known as Coco Baya. The district prosecutor, Gideon Segu, said the accused were brought before the court for environmental degradation for failing to fill the pit they dug to prospect for gold. He said as a result of the dangers posed by the many pits created in the district by the Galamsey operators, the district security committee held several meetings with them at which the illegal miners were given a deadline to seize them. After the deed expired, they were given a grace period to redeem the land, but they still refused to comply with the district's order. One of the accused, Seki, pleaded not guilty to the charge of causing environmental degradation, and the magistrate, Mr. Prince Anthony Kudu, demanded him in police custody to reappear before him on March 8. Three others, Apia Henny, Bobo and Rubin, pleaded guilty with explanation and asked for some more time to reclaim the land. However, the judge convicted them and sentenced them to a fine of 150,000 Ghana cedis each of the fine is to go to the District Assembly as compensation. They will serve 3 months each in prison in default. The magistrate, Mr. Anthony Kudu, further ordered them to reclaim their disturbed lands by March 18. They should report to the District Security Committee on completion to certify them. Mr. Kudu expressed concern at the rate at which illegal miners are destroying the environment and polluting the sources of drinking water. Adding that, this poses a threat to the health of the people. Later in an interview with the Wasamenfi East District Chief Executive, Stephen Bidua Champon, he said about 10 people have fallen into and died in recent times in the place created by the Galamsey operators, aside of the harm they are doing to the environment. The work to get rid of the illegal miners will therefore go unabated. About 2 weeks ago, two naval ratings got drowned and died in the Pra River at Busumase in the Sama district in the Western Region while on an operation against Galamsey operators who prospect for gold in the river. The President John Mahama, while addressing a forum at Abuazi, later warned that the war against the Galamsey operators will be decisive. From Wasakropon in the Western Region, George Grant Youngson reporting for Radio Ghana.
The European Union Timber Regulation 2013, banning the importation of illegally harvested timber, yesterday came into force. The regulation, which has been made available to the Ghana News Agency, divides those who deal in timber and timber products into two categories. Operators and traders, under the new law, illegally harvested timber within the outside the EU and products derived from such timber is prohibited on the EU market. which was adopted by the European Parliament and Council back in October 2010 and is only just coming into force because of the measures member states and private companies had to put in place. The law is binding on every EU member state.
The head pastor of the Cedar Mountain Chapel of Assemblies of God Ghana, Reverend Dr. Stephen Wingham, says despite the water and power crisis currently facing the country, Ghana is still an outstanding nation on the continent. He noted that God has chosen Ghana to be a model for Africa and the world. Reverend Dr. Wingham said this at a dedication service to celebrate and promote Ghana. Mary Atule reports.
The dedication service is organized every year to pray and thank God for his blessings for the country. Reverend Dr. Wingham said God has made a covenant to bless his people and use them as a showcase to the world. He noted that despite the political and tribal polarization in the country, Ghanaians should see God as the supreme ruler because presidents would come and go, but he will remain forever. Reverend Dr. Wingham identified indiscipline and lack of respect for authority as the greatest impediments to effective governance. He urged the youth to be disciplined at all times.
Ghana will be modeled after Israel so that Ghana can become a shining example of the strength of the continent of Africa and beyond. God wants Ghana to be law-abiding, people of integrity, serving corruption, for you are a holy people. That is the finest blessing any nation can have. For these people respect the laws. There's so much indiscipline in our country. We claim 60% are Christians. It doesn't show. Why is there rising corruption? Why is there indiscipline on our rules? It is time to leave what we talk. God has specially chosen Ghana. If you look at our history, if you look at our development, if you look at recent happenings, you can only say that God has specially chosen Ghana to be a mother nation, a nation of peace.
The president of the National House of Keys, now Professor John Nabila, who represented the government, said Ghana's democracy has been regarded as one of the best in Africa because of her ability to hold 6 successful elections. Professor Nabila also indicated that access to justice has been enhanced and it is now easier to resolve disputes in court. He added that this is a sign of God's reign over the country. The church prayed for the president, parliamentarians, the security services, judges, and the people of Ghana. An award was presented to Professor Nabila for his contribution to the development of the country.
A report by Mary Atule.
A severe rainstorm has hit the Mion district of the Northern Region, destroying more than 44 houses and displacing 346 people. Some of the houses destroyed were the Mion Lanas Palace, 9 rooms in Sang Lanas Palace, and the Baptist Church at Kanimo, and 40 bags of maize at the Chegolina Kura's house. The Mion District NADMO coordinator, Kwame Pomipier, conducted a team round which included the Mion DCE Dan Makandan, the Mion Coordinating Director Ibrahim Isifu, and the YMB Municipal Police Commander Superintendent George Andrew Kuma. He advised people in the area to stop felling trees indiscriminately so that they can serve as windbreaks. The DCE, Mr. Makandan, indicated that the impact of the rainstorm was great because some of the structures were not properly constructed. Mr. Makandan stated that there is going to be an intervention by the SADA project which will train people who will go back to their communities to train their people on how to use local materials to put up houses. He announced that the Mion District Assembly has already sent 10 people to be trained by SADA. He said when the people start putting up their houses with the local materials which has been identified by SADA, it will reduce this type of disaster.
The Ghana Youth Employment Development Agency, JEDA, has terminated a contract of community police personnel in the Tamale metropolis for disobedience. Explaining the rationale behind the action to the media, the Tamale Metro coordinator of JEDA, Umar Al-Hassan, said the personnel have been arresting motorists without the mandate to do so, saying they have been cautioned against the act but have failed to comply. Mr. Al-Hassan said JEDA has therefore asked interested individuals to apply for the agency for re-engagement.
In foreign news, Kenyans are voting in an election that observers describe as the most important in the country's history. It is the first time a vote has taken place under a new constitution designed to prevent a repeat of violence that followed the 2007 polls. More than 1,000 people died when supporters of rival candidates clashed over a contested result. Officials said a gang attacked police in the region of Chamgamwe outside the port city. Kenyans who choose a president, members of parliament and senators, county governors and members of the newly formed assembly. However, reports say all eyes are on the presidency since 8 candidates are standing, but it is a two-horse race pitting Prime Minister Raila Odinga against Deputy Prime Minister Uhuru Kenyatta.
Roman Catholic cardinals from around the world are due to meet in Rome to begin the process of electing the next pope. The College of Cardinals will hold daily talks leading up to a conclave in which a new pope would be chosen. The election process comes after Pope Benedict stepped down after nearly 8 years in office, leading the world's 1.2 billion Roman Catholics. He's the first pontiff to resign in 600 years. The first pre-conclave meeting this morning is to be headed by the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Angelo Sodano.
The former leader of the Catholic Church in Scotland, Cardinal Keith O'Brien, has admitted his sexual standards are beneath what is expected of him. He apologized and asked for forgiveness from those he had offended. In a statement, he has also apologized to the Church and the people of Scotland. The Cardinal had resigned after 3 priests and the former priest made allegations of improper behavior against him dating back to the 1980s. Cardinal O'Brien was Britain's most senior Roman Catholic cleric until he stood down as the Archbishop of the St. Andrews and Edinburgh. Survivors of one of the biggest bushfires in Australian history are suing a power company for negligence. The case centers on the most deadly blaze on Saturday, February 7, 2009, when wildfires swept across several areas in the state of Victoria. This fire in the Kilmore area, east area north of Melbourne, killed 119 people and destroyed more than 1,000 homes. The plaintiffs say SPI Electricity failed to adequately maintain its power lines, a claim the company denies. The case is expected to last at least 9 months. There are about 10,000 plaintiffs, led by Carol Matthews, who lost her 22-year-old son in the fire.
A mass trial is due to begin in the United Arab Emirates, UAE, of 94 Islamist activists accused of plotting to seize power in the Gulf state. The suspects include judges, lawyers, academics, and student leaders. The Attorney General alleges they formed a secret society with links to the Muslim Brotherhood that plotted to overthrow the government. Human rights groups say the trial is deeply flawed and have called it a mockery of justice. Political parties and demonstrations are banned in the UAE, which comprises 7 sheikhdoms run by ruling families.
EU Secretary of State John Kerry has pledged $450 million to support Egypt's failing economy, but warned Cairo that more work is needed. Mr. Kerry's comments come after talks with President Mohamed Morsi. He urged Mr. Morsi to ensure that the April polls are free, fair, and transparent. Football. Kumasi Asante Kotoko has advanced to the next stage of the CAF Champions League after beating Sony Ella Nguema of Equatorial Guinea by a lone goal. Aziz Yusuf scored for the Porcupine Warriors to gain an 8-0 aggregate, having whitewashed the opponent 7-0 a fortnight ago at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium. Kotoko will now play GSM Bahia of Algeria in the next stage. In a related development, a 10-man Dubias United failed to advance to the next stage of the CAF Confederation Cup when they lost 5-4 on penalties to Congolese side Diablo Noir in Brazzaville.
And still on football, relegation threatened the crowds of folk, held league leaders Medeama SC to a 1-1 drawn time in 6 years. Brekum Arsenal also defeated Temayud by 2-1. Ibrahim Dauda and Douglas Nkrumah scored for Arsenal. Bottom place Real Tamale United suffered another defeat at the hands of Liberty Professionals at the Carl Randolph Park in Dansoman. Elsewhere, Hearts of Lions had a slim 1-0 win over Ebusian Dwarfs, while Emidah's Professionals Cardinals also lost yesterday at home to former champions Brighton Chelsea by a long goal.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Seth Tekpe, will present this year's budget statement and government economic policy to Parliament tomorrow. It is being presented in March instead of November in the preceding year because of last year's elections. The fourth biennial delegates conference of the Akutia district of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, has ended at Bobia with an appeal to the government to motivate teachers to give up their best. More than 50 galamsey operators have started appearing before the district magistrate court at Wasai Kropong, the Wasa Menfi East district of the Western Region, for failing to refill a ditch they dug to search for gold. And Kenyans are voting to elect a president, members of parliament and senators, county governors and assembly members today. Observers describe the elections as the most important in the history of that country. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Ibrahim Kwatu in Accra.